6 months after Paul O'Neill became CEO of Alcoa, he got a telephone call in the middle of the night. A plant manager in Arizona was on the line, panicked, talking about how an extrusion press had stopped operating, and one of the workers, a young man who had joined the company a few weeks earlier, eager for the job because it offered health care for his pregnant wife, had tried a repair. He had jumped over a yellow safety wall surrounding the press and walked across the pit. There was a piece of aluminum jammed into the hinge on a swinging 6-foot arm. The young man pulled on the aluminum scrap, removing it. The machine was fixed. Behind him, the arm restarted its arc, swinging toward his head. When it hit, the arm crushed his skull. He was killed instantly. 14 hours later, O'Neill ordered all the plant's executives, as well as Alcoa's top officers in Pittsburgh, into an emergency meeting. For much of the day, they painstakingly recreated the accident with diagrams and by watching videotapes again and again. They identified dozens of errors that had contributed to the death, including two managers who had seen the man jump over the barrier but failed to stop him, a training program that hadn't emphasized to the man that he wouldn't be blamed for a breakdown, lack of instructions that he should find a manager before attempting a repair, and the absence of sensors to automatically shut down the machine when someone stepped into the pit. "We killed this man," a grim-faced O'Neill told the group. "It's my failure of leadership. I caused his death. The failure of you in the chain of command." The executives in the room were taken aback. Sure, a tragic accident had occurred, but tragic accidents were part of life at Alcoa. It was a huge company with employees who handled red-hot metal and dangerous machines. Paul had come in as an outsider, and there was a lot of skepticism when he talked about safety, said Bill O'Rourke, a top executive. "We figured it would last a few weeks, and then he would start focusing on something else. But that meeting really shook everyone up. He was serious about this stuff, serious enough that he would stay up nights worrying about some employee he'd never met. That's when things started to change." Within a week of that meeting, all the safety railings at Alcoa's plants were repainted bright yellow, and new policies were written up. Managers told employees not to be afraid to suggest proactive maintenance, and rules were clarified so that no one would attempt unsafe repairs. The newfound vigilance resulted in a short-term, noticeable decline in the injury rate. Alcoa experienced a small win. Then O'Neill pounced. "I want to congratulate everyone for bringing down the number of accidents, even just for 2 weeks," he wrote in a memo that made its way through the entire company. "We shouldn't celebrate because we followed the rules or brought down a number. We should celebrate because we are saving lives." Workers made copies of the note and taped it to their lockers. Someone painted a mural of O'Neill on one of the walls of a smelting plant, with a quote from the memo inscribed underneath. Just as Michael Phelps' routines had nothing to do with swimming and everything to do with his success, so O'Neill's efforts began snowballing into changes that were unrelated to safety, but transformative nonetheless. "I said to the hourly workers, if your management doesn't follow up on safety issues, then call me at home. Here's my number," O'Neill told me. Workers started calling, but they didn't want to talk about accidents. They wanted to talk about all these other great ideas. The Alcoa plant that manufactured aluminum siding for houses, for instance, had been struggling for years because executives would try to anticipate popular colors and inevitably guess wrong. They would pay consultants millions of dollars to choose shades of paint, and 6 months later, the warehouse would be overflowing with sunburst yellow and out of suddenly in demand hunter green. One day, a low-level employee made a suggestion that quickly worked its way to the general manager. If they grouped all the painting machines together, they could switch out the pigments faster and become more nimble in responding to shifts in consumer demand. Within a year, profits on aluminum siding doubled. The small wins that started with O'Neill's focus on safety created a climate in which all kinds of new ideas bubbled up. It turns out this guy had been suggesting this painting idea for a decade, but hadn't told anyone in management, an Alcoa executive told me. Then he figures, since we keep on asking for safety recommendations, why not tell them about this other idea? It was like he gave us the winning lottery numbers.